We have begun, and we've got some fresh faces, just to let them know. We've been reading the Proverbs as a group. We've been reading the Proverbs all summer. We've done it every summer for 5 summers, if my memory serves correctly. And God help us, we're going to do it for the next 5 years, if God gives us 5 years together. There's something about the Proverbs, the wisdom of God passed on to a father who could pass it on to his son, who could pass it on to his son, who could pass it on to his son. There's something about that wisdom that I need, and I suspect several of us need. Some of us made foolish decisions. Some of us had made some horrible mistakes in our lives and left ourselves kind of broken and bruised by our own sins. And then others of us have faced that same kind of situation by the sins of other people. And so the wisdom of God is really given to us to help, really it's to prepare for those days. And to prevent some of that hurt. But once the hurt has happened, your own fault or the fault of somebody else, it helps you repair those hurts and rebuild your life. Well, most of us are in the rebuilding our life states, though we got some that are in the preparing. And Cade, I guess, would be the best example of that in the preparing. And what a great way to begin him to begin preparing is to start hearing about God. And I bet he's heard prayers already. I bet he's already heard the name of Jesus already. And he's going to live his life knowing God and knowing God's will. Doesn't get better than that, right? But because of our experiences, some of us, and I've heard our discussions, man, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that. Now listen to me, the disclaimer is, you cannot go back. You can't undo what's been done. You can say it, and I have. You can pray it, and I have. You can beg it, cry it, plead it, fuss it, cuss it, discuss it, and I have. And you can't change it. You cannot go undo what you've done. But you can just do better from here on out. But there is benefit. Now, there's not benefit dwelling on it. There's not benefit fretting about it. There's not benefit living in it and living with it. But there is benefit in recognizing where you made the mistake, where you made the bad choice. And so because we're doing Proverbs, especially what we're going to read and study today, let's start there. If you can't. Okay, listen to me. You can't do it over again. But if you could, what would you do different? If I had to do it all over again, and I don't, but if I had to do it all over again, what would I have done differently? What would I do better? What would I do different? That's where we start this morning.
I'd listen to that voice that said you shouldn't do that.
Kelly said he'd listen to that voice that said you shouldn't do that. Where would that voice come from? God would say that. He'd be the first one to say it. Who else? Mom and Dad. They would have said that if you could ask them.
Teachers.
And that little voice inside you called your conscience that probably got hoarse screaming at you, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, while you were in the process of doing it. All right? What a...
I would have thought of like the other people's lives.
That would have changed some things if we could have thought about, if I could have thought about what effect this was going to have on other people, not just me. If you had to do it over again, and you can't, but if you had to do it over again, what would you do different?
Almost everything.
Name one. If you had to do it over again, what's something you would do different? Do better? Not do it all?
Staying in school.
Would have stayed in school. What would you have done different if you had to do it over again?
Be a better witness for the Lord.
Yeah. Be a better witness for the Lord. Being a better example. Be a better encourager. Just be a kind of person that when folks get to know you, they get closer, not further away from Jesus. What would you do different if you had to do it all over again?
Trust.
I'd have prayed more.
I think I chose better friends to not be influenced in doing some things that I right. shouldn't have got involved in.
Well, you can't go wrong there. I chose better friends.
Well,
Bart said amen. What would you do different? If you could do different, what would you do?
Talks more, and I was okay to do this because I said so.
But it does say something about the kind of mother you were, that you raised that kind of mother. You remember that? Remember that, Charlie?
I think I would have fought God so hard on some of the choices. You know, I had set in my head what I was going to do, and just kept running head first into closed doors.
Yeah. What would you do different if you could do it over again, Eric?
I wish I could have seen the pride trap that the devil had so patiently laid out before me. And been a little more still and patient, and seen where God was leading rather than where I was going headstrong.
If you had to do it over again, what would it be, Esther?
I would never let you do it.
If you had to do it over again, what would you do?
I'd try to have a better relationship with my dad.
There'd be, in those things we said and the things that we didn't say, there's all kinds of things in there that register regret, don't they? Now, hear me. Regret is a wasted emotion. It's an empty exercise. It'll distract you. It'll drain you. It will not help you do better. In fact, it will keep the same problem reoccurring if you live in regret. Right? It's regret that caused you to stand up hanging himself. And it's called godly sorrow, repentance, that caused Peter, who committed basically the same sin, to turn and come back toward Jesus and go for that walk on the beach. So let's do this. We figure out there's some things that we do better, that we'd do better. Let's pray and ask God's wisdom to do that. Let's pray before we get started. God promised that if we'd pray and ask for wisdom, He'd give it to us. So let's ask Him. Let's ask Him for wisdom, that God would help us make better choices. That we'd make better choices than we did before. Okay? Eric, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to lead us in that prayer. Just ask God to help us be wise and to make better choices. We grow up, and we talked about it last week. Proverbs is real good about this. One of the first words you learn from your parents is the word
no.
And the reason you learn that is because you were a bad child. Well, in some of your cases that may be true. But in most cases, it's not because you were a bad child. It's because they were trying to
protect you.
You know, kids, I was in a home this last week, and a little boy about knee tall, just outlet on the wall tall, was walking around patting on one of those, trying to poke his fingers into one, And I'm watching him, and his grandmother's watching him as well. She knows what he's doing. She's not saying anything. I'm standing there getting ready to call 911 because we're about to have toasted baby. I mean, and I don't know what to do. I don't want to smack the kid like I would have mine. I don't want to yell at him like I would have mine. I'm wanting grandmama to step in, but he's just, nothing happened, and I'm grateful, and I left the town house, and I checked the paper two or three days later to see if there's any record of it, but there wasn't anything bad happened. But children don't understand consequences, and so that's why parents have to teach them consequences, right? They reach for the hot stove and you spank their hand. You don't just step back and say, go ahead and touch it, it's your life, I don't want to cramp your style, I don't want to warp your personality, I don't want you to grow up with and need psychological help. No, you take their hand, you spank it, because you think if they understand that pain goes with the word no, then they won't go beyond that and experience a worse pain, right? Well, God does the same thing in the book of Proverbs. Real quick, real quick exercise. Tell me some of the things in Proverbs that He said not to do. He said, and we've gone through this, so if you don't get it, then our visitors are going to really be embarrassed that you're not better listeners. All right, give me a do not. Do not.
Look at the wine.
Don't look at wine when it sparkles in the cup. Do not.
Sit in the seat of mockers.
Do not sit in the seat of mockers. Do not. Don't hang out with angry people. Do not. Do not wear yourself out to get rich, he said. And do not, I'll give you one more. Do not. Do not withhold discipline from a child. There's a whole bunch of those. God understood that when He first starts preparing us for life, when He first starts repairing our lives, we got to go back to basics. We got to go back to do not this, do not that, do not this, do not that. But it's not just do nots that get you there. We've talked about it before. You grew up going to church, right? You heard all the don'ts. You don't dance, drink, cuss, smoke, spit, chew, or go with girls that do. You got that whole list, right? And you got that list, but that's where some of us stopped learning. And so we begin to resent the church. We begin to resent God because all it was about was the rules, what you don't do. Well, there are decisions you make that have nothing to do with right or wrong. There are some decisions you have to make that are good or better. Better or best, right? There's a list, and I don't know how many. You can count them if you want. But there's several places in Proverbs where he says, this is better than this. This is better than this. This is better than this. So this makes sense to me. Why don't we just read those? Let God teach us the things that are better. And then when we start making choices that go beyond the don't do this and the don't do that's, maybe we'll make better decisions this time. We'll make better decisions about mates. We'll make better decisions about jobs. We'll make better decisions about friends. Let's start in 12:9 is the first one. Now, there are no outline points, okay? There's no 3 points. There's no poem at all in this. It's just God's wisdom. Better to be a nobody and to have a servant than to pretend to be somebody and have no food. Boy, there are folks in this room, we understand what that means. We feel like somehow we've got to put on an air. We've got to put on an image. It is better to be a nobody and to have food, to have a home. And in this case, you'll represent that with a servant. You'll be better for you to be a nobody and to have a servant than to think you are somebody and have no food. So what's the choice there? Put in your words. What's the choice? It's between status and necessities. Life. It is better not to let your pride, your sense of status, disrupt you. How many of us get into situations with our families? How many of us get into situations with our coworkers? How many of the situations get into situations with people at stores when we try to be somebody and they don't respond to us as if we're somebody? Well, they just acted like I was a nobody. Well, in this case, it's better to be a nobody. Our pride gets in our way more than it helps us. All right, keep turning. Just turn a few pages till you find the next better. It's going to be real easy for me because I circled all of them. All right, look at chapter 15. 15:16. Follows the same kind of reasoning. Again, we're just going to read them. Let God teach us about those things that are better, hopefully giving us the ability to make better decisions or preparing us to make better decisions. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Anybody want to testify? Anybody need to testify? That when you were at your lowest, when you were making the least amount of money, when you had the least amount of debt, when you had the least amount of complications, you look back at those times and say, man, we didn't have any. I've heard, we talk about it all the time. Boy, we didn't have any money, but we didn't know it. We didn't have anything, but we were so happy. So what happens? A mortgage, a couple of cars, a couple of kids with insurance on their cars, a couple of storage sheds, and what happens? Then there's turmoil, and then there's fretting, and somebody took it, and somebody did it. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. So where do you start, guys? If we're going to prepare for these choices, if we're going to repair from some of our bad choices, where do we start? Start with the fear of the Lord. Just fear God. Make God number one on the list. Let Him decide what's best for you in every situation, and that's where you start. That's better than getting the wealth. Keep reading. Better a meal of vegetables. Now, I got to be honest, I had trouble with this one. That meal of vegetables, I didn't think there was a meal unless you had meat. I grew up. Every meal, we had some kind of meat. Ham and eggs, bacon and eggs for breakfast. Sausage and eggs. There was always meat. Lunch, we had fried chicken or chicken fried steak or chicken fried chicken fry. I mean, you had some kind of meat. Supper, we had steak and potato. I mean, it was meat. I remember the first time I went to Clinton's house and his mama served us a casserole. I had never seen a casserole, honest. Did not know what a casserole was. And I punched Clinton and I said, "Where's the meat?" Well, the meat was in the casserole. There was like maybe 3 crumbs of hamburger meat in it, you know. I thought I was going to starve to death because there was no meat. Now, I know that there are people in here who would say, "Oh, I'd rather eat vegetables than meat." You have a right to be foolish if you want to. And you've got to have meat. Well, this says it, so you're wise, and I yield to your wisdom. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love, and this is the truth, than a fatted calf with hatred. Folks, what does the steak taste like when there's trouble in the house? You can't eat it. I don't know how many times I've been in situations where you go in a home where there's been trouble. You can't eat it. I don't care how nice the food is, how great the steak is. You can't eat it if your old stomach's in a knot. It's better to have vegetables than whether love. So what's the point? He says choose love over hatred. It's not what you have. It's not what you have. It's how you share what you have with other people. Keep reading. Look in chapter 16. 16, verse 8. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Better is a little with doing things right than making a lot by being where you mistreat people. That's Rex's revised to that. But do you see the choice we make? It's not about what we have. It's not about what we can get. It's about how we choose to live our lives. It's better to be a nobody. It's better to be right. It's better to be righteous. It's better to be poor and loving than to have wealth and thick steaks if you're going to mistreat people. Keep reading. Go to chapter 16, verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. Now this is interesting. Interesting point. And he's made it before. So we're not saying this for the first time. We've talked about it a lot. We have been driven, many of us are driven by getting things by making that money. And we say to make a living, but is it really making a living? I There is no honor in what I'm about to tell you. It's just I had to learn it the hard way. When I went from having so much to the car I was driving, which is a big step up from what some people have, I had a car and the clothes that would fit in that car. That summed up my possessions. And when I had that, and I was living with my folks during tough old rough days, working at a $5 an hour, $5.25 an hour job, you know what I learned? Making a living, it takes on a whole different definition. Making a living does not mean taking care of all the obligations that you've chosen to add to your burden. Making a living basically means providing a place to stay. Well, really, Jesus would break it down into the clothes you wear and the food you eat. We could simplify our lives so much if we could move that direction. Now, I'm grateful for God that He's given me more than that. I'm grateful to God that He's given you more than that. But if His giving us more than that has caused a bigger burden on us, then it wasn't God giving it to us. It's maybe us seeking it. And maybe we need to make a better choice. And let's seek wisdom. Let's seek wisdom rather than the gold. Let's seek understanding rather than silver. Look at verse 19. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. I don't know about plunder. I don't know about plunder, and I don't know about these proud, but it's interesting. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed. You could fill in the blank with anything else, and I'd have trouble with that one, wouldn't you? Because we don't want to be treated lowly. We don't want to be treated as if we don't count. I hear it, see it all the time. When we're in a discussion with somebody, a clerk in the store, what do we want them to do? We want them to talk to us like we're somebody. What if we could lose that pride? What if we could lose that and just be willing to accept? I'm a nobody. I'm lowly. And so it shouldn't surprise me when people don't recognize me or don't greet me or don't treat me with respect. Why would they do any different? I grew up going to church. I spent lots of years being the preacher at church. I always, always, always heard this discussion. Well, I'm mad at Sister So-and-so. Well, it's usually a lady saying, I'm mad at Sister So-and-so. And I'd say, why are you mad at Sister So-and-so? And she said, because she wouldn't say hi to me this morning. And I'd think, well, shame on her, you know. And then I'd ask, and not knowing any better, I'd ask, well, did you say hi to her? Well, no. Well, why didn't you say hi to her? Well, because she didn't say hi to me. Okay, now, how long can you play that game? I didn't say hi to her because she didn't say hi to me. And why didn't she say hi to me? Because I didn't say hi to her. So I'm not going to say hi to her because she said that they said. She said, I said, they said. That what? So what? And it'll go on forever. Somebody has finally got to figure out, you don't have to say hi to me. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I don't expect you to. Now, if you do, that's nice. If you want to hug my neck, oh, that's even better. You want to slip money in my pocket? I will love you forever. But you do not have to treat me like I am somebody. If we could lose that attitude that we have got to be treated with respect and got to be treated like somebody, it'd be amazing what would happen in our lives. I had a lady in this same kind of deal, and a preacher came to talk to me about her because I didn't show her the proper concern that somebody didn't say hi to her. And he came and told me, said, well, you understand, she's very insecure. And I stopped him. I didn't know any better than to correct him. So I got in trouble again. But if somebody's insecure, if somebody has really got a low self-esteem, they don't get their feelings hurt when somebody doesn't say hi to them. You know why? Because they don't expect it anyway. In fact, they'd assume nobody talked to them. I know people that will see somebody they know in the mall and hide. They don't want to be spoken to. They don't want to be spoken to. They'll. If you're lowly, it doesn't matter to you how somebody treats you because you didn't expect anything anyway. If we could, it's better to be lowly of spirit among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. It's not about what we have. It's not about what people think of us. It's what God thinks of us anyway. Keep reading. Look at 16:32. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper, than one who takes a city. I didn't write it. God did. Well, man, that didn't... They're going to treat me that way, then I'm going to make sure that they find out what I believe and what I'm thinking, and I'm going to make sure I tell them, and I'm going to make sure they get the point, and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Now, we've never had that discussion, right? We've never... In here, now, I've heard of people doing that, but none of us would ever do that, right? He says, better be a patient man than a warrior. This is a horrible confession to make. I get tired ever so often from my work and from some situations that revolve around my job. I get tired of things, certain things that take place. So when I come home, I will tell Melanie, I'll say, you know what, let's watch a movie where the guy comes in and just kills everybody. And we have a stack of movies that are... make my day kind of movies. And there's some really good ones. I'm not going to give you that list because y'all will start watching. I mean, I just sometimes have that craving to... Now, what I got to remember is a patient man's better than a warrior. You don't always have to be right. Listen, we don't always have to be right. We always don't have to win the argument. How many times have we caused more of a fuss because we felt like we had to win the argument? We don't have to. It doesn't prove we're right. It doesn't prove we're wrong if they don't think we're right. One more time. It does not prove that we're wrong if they don't think we're right. Not everybody in the world has to agree with me. Now they should, but if they don't, I got to live with that. All right, keep reading. 17:1. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. He said it before. The fact that he says it again means it ought to underline it. You know what he wants in your home? You know what he wants in your home? He wants peace. He wants peace in your home. It's not about making sure you have all the gadgets. It's not about making sure that you have all the gadgets. It's about making sure there's peace and quiet in your home. It's more important to have that peace, even if you don't have anything but just that dry crust of bread. Look at 17:12. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. It's real simple, isn't it? There are people that are out there messing up, and guess what you need to do? Stay away from them. Be scared of them. I hear us talk about, well, you know, I just feel like I could help them. If it's a fool in their folly, stay away from them. Trouble's coming. Keep reading. Find the next one. 19:1. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. There's that idea again. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless. What matters most is character, not bank account. What matters most is character, not model of car. What matters most is character, not vacation. What matters most is character, not retirement. Keep reading. Look at 19:22. It says it again. What a man desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. Better to be poor than a liar. Your character matters more than your bank account. Keep reading. Go to 21. Verse 9. Better to live on the corner of the roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Now, I'm going to say this, and we do it all the time. We always kind of giggle and we kind of nudge our wife. Listen, Do you understand that you can turn that thing over? Better live on the corner of the house than with a quarrelsome husband. So it doesn't matter if you're the husband or if the wife. If you're a grouch, you need to stop it. If you're crabby, you need to stop it. Husband or wife, if you are quarrelsome, if you pick and poke and jab and gripe and nag, you're hurting your home. So stop it. Now, don't be telling me, well, it's all her fault. And I know better than that. I know that. But it's better to live. So that says for some of you who are choosing mates, who are at the point of choosing mates, if you're dating somebody who is that kind of person, dump them. And I don't wait till tomorrow. Dump them right now. Borrow my cell phone. You call them and dump them. Use it, text them from my phone. I got a texting type phone. I can't text, but you can text. Text them. You are dumped, you quarrelsome jerk. Or jerkette, as the case may be. Proverbs 21:9. All right, now, turn to 21:19. Turn to 21:19. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife and or husband, right? Now, folks, would there be a reason God would say it again?
He wants to make sure you got it.
Would God happen to know anything about us that we would understand we needed things repeated? He said it once. Now he says it again. If you are choosing a mate and they are quarrelsome or ill-tempered, then you need to not choose them for your mate. But if they already are your mate, if you've already chosen them, guess what?
You're stuck.
You better like living in the desert. You better learn to sleep on the corner of the roof. This is not an out from God. This is not an out from God that just says, well, if they're not like you like it, you could just leave it. No. If they're quarrelsome, if they're ill-tempered, then you're going to have to prepare yourself to live that way. You made that choice, now live with that. Now, are there some suggestions? Yes, and we've talked about it another time, and can talk about it again sometime. There are ways to deal with people that are ill-tempered. Okay? All right, go to 22:1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. He just said it again. It's like he's trying to get to us. He's trying to get through to us. And I would think it would be especially applicable to our culture. We see the goal of our lives. Well, ask. And I've done it. I worked with at-risk kids here in Lubbock for a year or so. And I would ask them, I said, what do you want to do? What do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to do when you get out of school? What do you want to do when you get out of college? And the answer was, I want to be famous. Or I want to make money. Okay, I got you. I got no problem with being famous. Got no problem with making money. But you got to take, there's some steps you take long before you get there. What do you want to do? I want to have a good name. I want a good name. That's more desirable. To be respected, to be esteemed. That's better. I almost said more better. That's really how better it is. That's more better. Sorry, Ashley. So what matters? What really matters? If you have to sell your soul and gain the whole world, Jesus said there's no profit in that. It's not about what you have, it's about who you are. Keep reading. Verse 25-24. Better to live on the corner of Ruth than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. I did not write it, y'all. What we just learned. God's trying to get your attention. Now, those of you who are not married, those of you who are at the place where you could choose a mate, pay attention. Pay attention. Let the wisdom of God help you make that choice. 27:5. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Now I got to be honest. I think all of us maybe need some instruction in this area about correction. Some of us, even somebody starts the thought of the possibility of correcting us, and we get defensive. I don't love the correction, but I love what Jesus is trying to teach me here when He says, when this father says to his son, the wise man loves correction. Why would a wise man love correction? Because correction is embarrassing. Correction has the possibility of hurting your feelings. Why does a wise man love correction?
Makes you better.
It makes you better. Makes you stronger. I was trying to teach it to a bunch of kids the other day. I was trying to say their names, and I was in part of town where their names were... They were culturally, linguistically impossible for me to say. I can say Laquisha, but I can't say Laquisha Lilita. I can't say it. And those kids would say their name and I'd try and repeat it and then they'd laugh. And I told them, I said, I want you to correct me. If I say your name and I get it wrong, I want you to correct me. Really? You're not supposed to correct the teacher, right? I said, I want you to correct me, because if you correct me and I finally get it right, then I'm smarter than I was before. I'm better than I was before. So when I'm driving and somebody corrects me and said, honey, you need to turn here. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Oh, and I'm just making folks upset right now, big time. Correction is not a bad thing. Now, can you do it kindly? Yes. You don't have to say jerk at the end of it every time. But open rebuke is better than hidden love. I can hear people say, well, I just loved them too much to tell them. No, you didn't either. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. You see something's a problem, it's better. You love them better if you say it out loud. Best illustration of it. I believe it's just, I see no fault in the idea at all. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. And I mean, I like the wording of it. They don't let friends drive drunk. Well, I don't have any choice. That's their life. They have no ability to make a judgment. Y'all, they're drunk. So what do?
Take their key.
If you can't whip him, you must be drunk too. You need to repent. Take him down. Stop him from doing that. It may be your family you save besides him. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. Don't love me so much that you won't help me, right? Keep reading. Look at verse 10. And we're going to stop with verse 10 because it fits us, I think. It fits us. 27:10. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father. And do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Lots of levels to this and lots of things involve family issues. But don't forsake your friend and don't forsake the friend of your father. It's real easy. And it's different personalities, different family types. There are some families that are very... I'm going to show you my training of 37 years of school. There are closed systems. There are people that are closed, families that are closed. And the only people they talk to are their family, and the only people they like are their family, and they don't ever have anybody that they like besides their family. And they don't even really like their family, but they just don't let anybody else in. That's a closed family. That's a close family. Yeah, or out. Yeah, could be the case. Now, if you develop that, if you think that's the goal of a Christian family is to get so tight that you just keep everything to yourself, then you've not understood the way God built us. The wisdom of God involves not only family, but friends of family. We have relationships that go, there are men that have been friends with my father, that even after my father's gone, I will want to show respect to them because they were friends to my father. There are friends that I had from my past I don't get to see anymore now. But when I see them or if they need me, I need to be... And I may need them. I guess that's the point. I may need them. Better is the friend whose house is nearby than the brothers who's far away. Don't close yourself off from good brothers. I know what happens. Something happens in your family and you want to close... I understand. I understand. We want to close ranks and we don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Because we feel how by not telling somebody, then it's going to make it go away. We feel like if we don't tell anybody, then nobody else will know what's really happening in our family. As if they don't already know that kind of stuff happens in our family. Because it happens in their family as well. Let's don't be those kind of people. Let's don't be the kind of people that close up with our families and forget these brothers, these neighbors, these friends that have been meant so much to us when we're in trouble. Let's remember that. It's better to have this nearby than a brother far away. May God give us wisdom as we prepare to face the things that are going to face in our lives. And then God help us prepare the things that we've messed up on because we made poor choices.